Chapter 6. My blood started to boil as I stared at the elf couple's smug faces. All I wanted was information, and they were quick to make a deal and then back out of their side of it. It was apparent the elves had no sense of honor or respect, but they didn't seem to care. They obviously had no idea who the fuck they were dealing with, and I planned to show them how smart it was to renege on a deal with a dragon. My fists clenched at my sides, but then I felt the cool, gentle touch of Aliona's hand on my arm.
"Let me talk to them,"
she whispered.
"Take a deep breath."
Her words seemed to breathe ice into the fire that burned my insides, and they tamped down the rage that threatened to boil over. I took a deep, shuddering breath to calm myself, but I kept my eyes locked onto the Duke and Duchess. "Okay," I agreed on the exhale. "I suppose they don't have to meet the gods today." The Duchess's mouth dropped open ever so slightly at my menacing words, and her eyes darted between Aliona and me.
"You've made a grave mistake,"
the princess said in a soft but commanding voice.
"Lord Evan released your archer in exchange for information about a citizen of your city. He completed his end of the bargain, but you have fallen quite short on yours. Not only have you disrespected the family of the White Jade Temple, you also risk putting thousands of lives in danger. Is that something you can live with?"
"White Jade Temple?" the Duke repeated with wary eyes. "What would we care about the matters of Rama?"
"In case you haven't noticed, you're now in Ekral,"
his wife added, and pursed her lips.
"We have no business with the Raman royalty." "You do now,"
Aliona retorted.
"I am Princess Aliona, and Lord Evan is my husband, heir to the throne of King Rodion. You have disrespected us with your dishonesty, and you should be ashamed of the disregard you've shown for thousands of lives that hang in the balance." "Why would we be ashamed for not being able to solve your problem?"
the Duchess gasped with a dramatic hand to her chest.
"We are mere elves, hundreds of miles from your temple, and we've never been concerned with our neighboring country's business."
"And we have no intention of starting to be concerned now,"
her husband chimed in with a smug smile.
"Then you'll have to answer that when your time has ended,"
Aliona said through gritted teeth.
"But for now, we need an answer. You know who we're talking about. What is the noble's name?"
The elf couple looked at each other again, but the Duchess shook her head just enough for her husband to see before they turned back to face us.
"As we said, we're unable to assist in your search party," the Duke replied. "Now, if you'll excuse us, we have plenty of other—"
"Unbelievable!"
Skye cut him off as she stormed forward and stood toe-to-toe with the Duke of Capacia.
"The princess just told you thousands of lives are at risk if you don't give us a name, and you think you'll be able to sleep tonight knowing you could have helped save them?"
I'll sleep fine," the Duke said,
though his smug smile had begun to retreat.
"Thousands of men, women, and children are at stake!"
Skye continued her rant as she lifted a defiant chin toward the couple.
"Children whose lives could be gone from this world because you're a couple of stubborn, selfish assholes with no compassion for anyone outside your stupid forest. It's absolutely disgusting. I left my home city to venture past its walls and find something better than I knew, to find my purpose in this world. And you two can't even see past your stupid silver architecture to realize there are millions of other lives around you that deserve to be lived."
The Naiad Nepin's chest heaved as she stared at the couple, while the Duke and Duchess watched her with open mouths and wide eyes. It seemed her speech had left them, well, speechless. I swore I could hear a cricket chirp as we waited for the elves to respond, before the Duke finally shook his head and looked down to his feet.
"You're right," he mumbled. "We keep to ourselves and have forgotten—"
"Defender!"
his wife interjected and grabbed his hand.
"Wait!"
"No, Magdalene,"
Duke Devinder insisted.
"Let me finish. We've forgotten about the rest of the people in the world because we've stayed to ourselves and don't need them anymore. Like they haven't needed us. I do apologize for our cold response."
It was the most either of them had spoken at once since we'd arrived, and the Duke looked completely defeated as he finished his declaration. I was relieved Skye had been able to get through to them, and I reached forward to squeeze her hand with reassurance.
Good,
she said.
Now, who is the noble with the special sword?
I'll tell you, Devinder answered with a grimace. But I'm not sure if it will do any good for your mission.
Why not? I asked, as Skye stepped back to stand with Aliona and me.
His name is Lord Barrington,
Magdalene said, and narrowed her eyes at her husband.
He has been ill for several weeks now.
Damn. A male heir to the sword threw a small wrench in the plan. But we'd have to talk to Lord Barrington to find a female heir for the binding ceremony. I hoped it wouldn't be a huge problem. We aren't afraid of catching a cold, I smirked. I have healing magic. I'll help him, and then he can help us.
I hope your healing power is strong,
the Duchess muttered as she gestured toward the door.
We'll take you to his home.
It is, I grunted. Lead the way. The Duke and Duchess begrudgingly led us out of their palace and back into the city of Capacia. The streets were still empty of other elf citizens, which made me wonder if they were all really that busy, or if they truly didn't care about any outsiders who showed up. Or maybe their royal leaders didn't want the rest of the elves to be involved with anyone. Either way, the city looked dead, and it was almost as eerie as Juntrilago, with the lack of life that was supposed to flow throughout a city.
I hope I didn't offend you, my lord,
Skye murmured as we walked along behind the slow-moving elves.
I shouldn't have spoken out of turn.
I'm not offended at all, I chuckled. You gave them the swift kick in the ass they needed to finally see what had to be done. You did great, Skye.
Thank you,
she replied, as her sapphire cheeks darkened with a blush.
I agree,
Aliona said, and smiled.
We couldn't have convinced them without your passion. It was brilliant.
The rest of my lovers joined in with their appreciation for Skye's speech, and her flushed cheeks turned almost black as she accepted their gratitude. Though she was the newest to join our family, she already fit in perfectly. The Duke and Duchess came to an abrupt halt in front of a small silver house with a stark white door. The door was adorned with blue and red jewels in the shape of a bird, and I couldn't hear a peep from inside. Magdalene knocked on the door and waited less than a second before she turned the knob and walked inside with Devinder on her heels. I turned and gave Nike a questioning look, but the noble shrugged his shoulders as we followed the elves inside. The entry was lit only by a single candle on the wall, and once we shut the front door behind us, it was still nearly pitch black until the Duke lit a small lantern and picked it up from the floor. The flickering light revealed his grim expression as he continued further into the house. We followed them down the hallway and into a bedroom at the end of the hall, and I took in a sharp breath when I saw the noble of the sword on the bed. Lord Barrington was a bit older than I was, but he wasn't old by any standard. Dark auburn hair flowed gently across the pillow beneath his head, and a thick beard laid across his torso. His face was tanned and rugged, and he wore a blue tunic with the same bird from his door stitched onto the chest. He was sprawled out on top of the blankets, and his eyes were closed as though he was asleep. A chill rippled through my body as I soon recognized the situation the noble was in.
He was found like this on his last mission, Devinder explained. No one had heard from him in several days, and the search party discovered him lying there. They brought him back straight away, and he's been in this state for several weeks.
Let me guess, I said. His vital signs are all normal, but he can't be woken up?
Yes,
the Duchess breathed.
How did you know?
We've seen this before, I replied with a frown. Good thing you brought us here. We've already helped a few people with this, but it's not easy.
I have the ingredients from the spell,
Aliona said as she reached into her spatial storage.
That part is easy enough.
That's a good start, I agreed. I'm still concerned with his memory.
What do you mean?
Magdalene demanded.
The ones who we healed before never regained their memories of how they became like this,
Aliona explained.
We tried several things, but all we could do was wake them up.
Well, he needs to be woken up, but I don't want his memory damaged.
Devinder rubbed his chin in thought.
Maybe we should wait.
We don't have time to wait,
my wife said.
We don't know how much damage has already been caused by the magic that put him in the sleep. We need to wake him immediately.
You just said the other ones you healed were damaged,
Magdalene argued.
We can't risk a noble of the sword.
They weren't damaged because of our healing spell, I said. Whatever hurt them damaged their memories of it. That was the only part we haven't figured out yet how to heal.
Well, then we should wait until you figure that out.
The Duchess crossed her arms over her chest with a petulance that made me want to toss her out a window. No, I growled. We can't wait. He has to be healed from the sleeping curse now. And if he can't remember what happened to him? Devinder asked.
Then at least he'll be awake and healing,
Aliona said gently.
It's the best thing to do for him right now. We have no idea what's going on while he's asleep. The ones we healed before were only asleep for a few days. You said he's been asleep for weeks. This poor man could be near death by now.
The elves looked at each other with obvious dismay, and I could tell they were torn between trusting us and avoiding our help, which would end with terrible results. I wanted to just shove them both out of the room and solve the problem our way. But we had to at least try to keep the elf rulers on board with us. If nothing else, they could explain to Lord Barrington who we were and how we had helped him, though I knew that would likely be a whole other argument.
Fine,
Magdalene finally sighed.
Do the spell. He should be healed. But if he's upset about his memory loss, you will be the ones to explain it to him.
We can do that, I said before I turned to Aliona. Can you do it without Naomi?
For one person, yes,
she replied.
I'll still need to channel Mariah.
I'm ready,
the spirit declared as she stepped forward and took Aliona's hand. The princess and Mariah began to gather the ingredients from Aliona's spatial storage and recreate the reddish-brown paste they'd made on the airship. Aliona swiped the paste across Lord Barrington's forehead, and his eyes jolted open, which was no less creepy, even though I expected it this time. It was only a few seconds later when they stepped back and joined hands.
Spring of life and mountains free, awaken from your deepest sleep,
Aliona chanted while Mariah gripped her shoulder to give Aliona access to her power.
Autumn fires and rivers gold, remember what your stories hold.
The same gust of wind that had blown through the airship infirmary burst into the noble's bedroom and nearly carried the lantern from Devinder's hand. Oh! He clutched the handle and looked around wildly. Suddenly, the elf noble sat straight up in his bed and stared at the wall across from him.
By the end of the second scourge, he will rise. Before the last moon is in the sky, you will bow before the Demon King!
Then he flopped back onto the bed, as the wind screamed through the room and disappeared with a clap of thunder. That's just as weird the second time, I muttered.
Oh, my gods!
Magdalene gasped and rushed forward to take Lord Barrington's hand.
Are you all right? What were you talking about?
What?
The noble mumbled and looked around.
Wait. I can't be here.
Lord Barrington began to thrash and writhe as though he was trapped by some sort of binding, but nothing held him to the bed. He tore at his beard and his hair, and he screamed a guttural cry that sounded like a madman.
Grab him!
I yelled to Nike. We shoved the stunned elf rulers out of the way to take hold of Lord Barrington's arms and pin him to the bed.
Should I bind him?
Aliona asked in a worried tone. No, just put him in a normal sleep, I ordered her, as Barrington struggled against our grasp.
Hurry!
Without another word, Aliona strode forward and placed her palm on Barrington's face. Then his body went limp, and his eyes drifted closed as he fell asleep once more.
What in the name?
Devinder started.
Shh!
Aliona admonished him.
He's really asleep right now. We should discuss this outside.
Magdalene narrowed her eyes on the princess but turned around to leave Barrington's house. We shuffled out behind her, and I gently closed the door to avoid waking the sleeping noble.
Now, someone tell me, what in the name of the gods just happened in there?
Devinder bellowed.
You don't need to raise your voice like that, I whispered. I know it was difficult to see, but we warned you it wasn't easy.
Oh, that was quite disturbing.
The Duchess was visibly shaken as she wrapped her arms around herself and shuddered.
I've never seen anything like it.
I understand, I assured her. We had no idea what to make of it when it happened with the group of researchers we found.
What about now? Devinder asked. Do you know what it means now?
We believe there is a very imminent threat to our world who attacked the people we rescued, and Lord Barrington, I said carefully. We don't know much about the Demon King just yet, but we will. Now, you said Lord Barrington was found after a mission, so I need to know where he was.
He was at the northern border to Rama, the Duke answered. We don't know much about why he went.
How did he get a mission you don't know about? Nike chimed in with a frown. You should know what the lords of your city are doing.
Normally, yes,
the Duchess said with a nod.
Most of his missions are brought to us first, but this one he received on his own. He said it was urgent that he leave immediately, and then he was gone.
How long was he gone? I pressed.
He sent word upon his arrival 2 days after he left.
Then nothing, Devinder said.
When no one heard from him for 3 days, we sent a few guards to check on him. They brought him back like that.
He didn't take anyone with him?
Nike asked, and furrowed his brow.
No.
Magdalene shook her head.
He preferred to complete most missions on his own. If he requested a few guards, we would send them.
We need to know more about this mission, I muttered. Where are the guards who found him?
Two are home, but one is at the palace right now, the Duke said.
Let's go talk to him, I decided. The elf rulers hesitated for only a moment before they began the walk back to the palace. I took it as a sign of their growing trust in us that they didn't argue this time. But I wouldn't count my eggs too early. We had to get enough information from the guard to know what exactly we needed to do next. We still had to find the right bloodline heir, too, and it didn't seem like Barrington would be much help right now.
My lord, I hate to add more bad news, but I have to tell you something,
Mariah whispered as we walked toward the palace. What's wrong? I asked.
While we were in Lord Barrington's home, I couldn't sense any of my sisters,
she said with a frown.
Anya and Juniper said the same thing. We could sense the bloodline within the noble, but that's it.
Before I could press her for more information, we'd reached the city center. The elf leaders marched up to the palace doors, and two guards opened the doors and let us all inside. We'd have to discuss the added problem later.
We need to speak with Jensen,
Devinder announced to the guards. One of them nodded silently and rushed deeper into the castle, and he returned in less than a minute with another elf guard right behind him.
You summoned me, Your Grace,
the guard I assumed was Jensen asked with a bow.
Yes. Lord Evan has a few questions for you about finding Lord Barrington,
the Duke said, and pointed toward me.
Please, answer them as well as you can.
The elf guard turned to me and waited. Okay, so you found Barrington in this coma state, right? I asked.
Yes, Jensen said. We went to the area he'd sent word from, and he was there, but he was asleep on the ground in the middle of the forest. There was nothing around, and he didn't look injured, so we picked him up and brought him back home.
Where exactly did you go to find him? I narrowed my eyes on the elf. I needed the details about where the mission had led Lord Barrington. It had somehow gotten him close enough to the Demon King, and that wasn't where I wanted anyone else to be.
I'll show you on a map,
Jensen said, as he pulled a piece of parchment from the pocket of his trousers and unfolded it.
See, this is Capesia. We traveled northeast just a few miles south of the Mihareti Mountains, where Ekral meets Rama. He was in the Larthan Forest.
As I stared at the elf's skinny finger sliding across the worn paper, something clicked. He was incredibly close to the bottom portion of the breach.
Did you notice anything odd about where you were? I asked. Smoke, smell, anything like that?
Oh, it smelled terrible.
Jensen scrunched up his nose in disgust.
Like many deaths had passed in the forest. We were quick to take Lord Barrington and return.
They were by the breach,
Lyca breathed.
That's how the Demon King got to him.
So a few weeks ago he was only strong enough to affect someone close to the breach, I mused. But how did he gain enough power to affect the researchers so far away? No one had an answer, and Devinder thanked Jensen for the information before he sent the guard away.
Did you find what you need in Capesia, then?
The Duke asked with a frown. Almost, I said. We need to know about Lord Barrington's family. Does he have any relatives still alive?
Lord Evan, we have been more helpful than we ever imagined we would be,
Magdalene answered with an arched eyebrow.
And still you need more.
Well, I assume you don't want to leave Lord Barrington in his current state of madness,
Isabella pointed out and crossed her arms over her chest. And in order to finish fixing him, we have to finish our own mission, I added. So we need to know about his family.
I'm sorry, Lord Evan, but we can't divulge the private affairs of our citizens' lives, the Duke said firmly. You'll have to wait until Lord Barrington is ready to discuss his family with you.
He's sort of crazy at the moment, I shot back. We need the information sooner rather than later. It's not like we're going to steal his identity or something.
Please, Your Grace, our questions will be simple,
Aliona added.
No.
Devinder shook his head and crossed his arms.
Even if we felt comfortable answering them, we may not know the answers.
I clenched my fists in frustration, but I didn't have any other arguments. He was right about the possibility of not knowing the answers, which would defeat the whole purpose of asking them anything. Or even worse, they could tell us something wrong, and we'd be off on a wild goose chase while the Demon King continued to grow in power.
I really don't want to wait for Barrington to wake up, I muttered, as I turned to face my group.
What else can we do?
Aaliyah asked, and her round golden ears twitched with annoyance.
Wake him up?
Ravi suggested.
No, we need to let him rest,
Aliona sighed.
Sometimes a spell can affect the mind in a variety of ways. It seems Lord Barrington's mind was overwhelmed, so I'm afraid if we don't let him rest, he won't be able to recover completely.
This is going to drive me mad as well,
Lyca grumbled.
I don't see the elves letting us stay here and hang out while the noble takes his nap.
Me either, I said. How else could we find out about the family, then?
Ask around town?
Skye asked.
Would the other people help us?
I doubt it,
Rebecca said with a grimace.
If the Duke and Duchess despise us this much, just imagine how the other hundreds of elves feel.
Plus, we run the risk of more inaccurate information,
Isabella added.
Wait,
Aliona said suddenly.
I have an idea. Most cities have one place that always retains accurate information about its citizens.
Oh, like we found in Kolaruma, I asked.
Exactly,
she confirmed before she turned around to the elf rulers.
Do you keep bloodline records?
How archaic,
Magdalene groaned.
We don't require clean bloodlines in Capacia, and we have rid our people of arranged marriages for many generations.
I don't mean like that.
Aliona sighed and shook her head.
I only mean records of births and deaths within a family.
That is incredibly sensitive information, Devinder gasped and looked appalled. If we don't want to answer such questions, why would we allow you to access them? Because of the whole thousands of lives depend on it thing, I snarled. I'm getting tired of us explaining this to you. We have more important things to think about than whether or not our questions offend you. Is there a collection of the family data or not?
There is, the Duke grunted. We'll show you there, but we won't help you dig through our citizens' lives.
That's fine, I said, as I bit my tongue for the rest of my comment. Thanks. Devinder made another grunting sound before he motioned for us to follow him down a hallway into the palace, while Magdalene stayed behind. He led us deep into the palace before he stopped at a large golden door, and then he produced a set of skeleton keys and inserted one into the keyhole. There was a loud click as the lock opened, and he pushed the large door into the room. It creaked open, and enchanted lanterns on the wall illuminated a large chamber. Tall shelves lined both walls and created at least 10 rows that stretched out about 50 yards ahead of us. Each shelf held boxes grouped into sections, but I couldn't see the labels from where we stood. Hopefully they'd be labeled by name, and we could find Lord Barrington's family easily.
You'll find what you need here, Devinder said, as he turned to leave, then stopped. Oh, and the families file their own records. So it may take some time to find Lord Barrington's. We don't keep track of what everyone does.
With that, he spun on his heels and strode out the door.
He seems happy,
Ravi giggled.
I'm surprised he didn't throw us a party,
Aaliyah chimed in. I stepped forward and looked over the boxes, but they didn't appear to be as helpful as I'd hoped. The labels were numbered, but it wasn't with dates or times. I couldn't tell what the system was at all, and I had flashbacks to elementary school and learning the Dewey Decimal System.
It looks like the families are grouped somehow.
Aliona had already pulled a set of papers from a box on the shelf behind me.
I'm just not sure what the organization is.
And if they do it themselves, there's no telling what each of the boxes has anyway, I mumbled. This should be fun. We spread out across the room and began the search. I pulled out the first box and found what appeared to be the elf version of a birth certificate. The kid's name, parents' names, and birthday were all listed, along with a tiny drawing of the baby's smushed face. I chuckled and kept going through the box to find more births, some death certificates, and a few random tax and land documents. It seemed the elves kept decent records in regard to who owned what and how much they paid to have the guards keep watch over their property. Nothing in the box was related to Lord Barrington, so I put it back on the shelf and kept going. After a few boxes, I noticed a trend. Most of them had a family tree at the very back of the stack of papers, which was fairly up to date with the birth and death records ahead of it. Are you guys finding the family trees at the back? I called out.
Yeah, almost every time,
Lyca said. Let's just focus on those for now, I decided. We can verify it with whatever else is in the box, but the family trees might be the fastest way to find the right box. With a narrowed scope, we were able to clear through boxes even faster. If Barrington's name wasn't on the family tree, the box went back on the shelf. I was moving twice as fast with the new plan, and before I knew it, I was halfway down the aisle. While I'd learned a lot about the elf families around Capacia, I hadn't found anything yet about our fellow noble of the sword.
Got it!
Aaliyah yelled. I turned to see the lioness holding a piece of crumpled parchment high in the air. We all rushed over to see for ourselves, and I grinned when I saw Barrington's name toward the bottom of the tree. But my smile fell when I saw no other names below his. He didn't have any children, which cut out the first bloodline heir possibility. He has a sister, though, I murmured as I looked over the tree. Anastasia.
She's older,
Aliona said.
But she didn't have any children either.
What else is in the box? I wondered. We need to know more about her. Aaliyah pulled out the contents of the box and spread them out on the floor around us. Then we all sat down and began to paw through each paper to read about the noble's sister. She was unmarried and lived in Capacia, but there weren't many more of the papers that talked about her. Then I found one that did and took in a sharp breath.
Lord Evan, what is it?
Ravi asked and leaned over my shoulder. I think we need to find Anastasia, I murmured, as I read what looked like a journal entry. Listen to this. The day Barrington came of age, he knew what he had to do. He marched forth to issue the challenge to his sister to become the new noble of the sword.
Wait, so you're saying?
Aliona trailed off as she read the page with me. Yeah, Barrington challenged Anastasia for the noble sword, I declared. She definitely has the bloodline too. And we had to track her down.